This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Thomas Carey joins us on the line. He is the co-author of Witness to Roswell. He is one of the nation's top investigators into the now historic Roswell incident of 60 years ago. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, Coy.
Now, before we get into the book, you actually have a Charlottesville connection.
Yes, I do. My older brother has been a resident of Charlottesville for the last 40 years. He's was a professor there, and he's now a professor emeritus at UVA.
There you go. And what's his name? We'll give a shout-out to him.
Frank Carey. Hi, Frank.
There you go. So the new book, Witness to Roswell, this is something that you have been investigating for many years. You were one of the consultants, as a matter of fact, for the Sci-Fi Channel's documentary about Roswell. Tell us first, why the new book? There's been so many dozens of books now written about Roswell. Why this book?
Yes. The majority of the Roswell books were written for the 1997 50th anniversary of the incident. They were written either for that anniversary or before that. My co-author and I, we teamed up in 1998 to continue a proactive investigation of the case because most of the other authors left the field after that celebration. We wanted to continue the investigation because we felt that there was more gold to be mined there, and by gold I don't mean money. I just mean clarifying the case, nailing it down, et cetera, et cetera. So in the last 9 years, we've accumulated so much new information that we felt that, especially with the arrival of the now 60th anniversary of the incident, that we should get some of this information out, even though we still have more to get out later. So that's why we wrote the book, was to at least get out some of the information that we have accumulated over the course of our last 9 years of investigating the case.
My guest is author Thomas Carey. The book is Witness to Roswell, Unmasking the 60-Year Cover-Up. Tom, for the folks who don't know, not like myself, an avid reader of this kind of stuff, give us, in just broad strokes, the story. When we say the Roswell incident, when we say cover-up, what do we mean?
What we mean, in fact, the Roswell incident is a term that's known around the world now. It's a household word around the world. You go to any country and mention Roswell, they at least know that it has something to do with a town in the southwest of the United States and with a UFO. And what it means is what it refers to is the alleged crash of a UFO near the town of Roswell in July of 1947, its subsequent recovery by the United States military, and the subsequent cover-up by the U.S. government of this incident.
And tell us some of the things that, some of this new evidence that you and your co-author, Donald Schmidt, have dug up.
Well, we have uncovered, our witness pool now totals over 600. And that doesn't mean that every witness knows all about the case. It just means that each witness knows only the little part that he or she witnessed or was privy to. And it's been our duty, our job, to try to piece these little snippets of information together in a picture that makes sense. And we've uncovered a lot of new information, mostly of a eyewitness type that clarifies the fact that there were actually three sites involved in the case, and that there were bodies at two of the sites. We have witnesses at each of the crash sites. We have witnesses that accompanied the bodies and the craft back to the base. We have witnesses at the base. We have witnesses on the aircraft that flew the wreckage and the bodies out. And to us, it's inconceivable how you could, using Occam's razor or Occam's law of parsimony, arrive at any other conclusion then a UFO crashed with anywhere from 5 to 7 occupants, one of which was alive.
Thomas Carey is a co-author of a new book, Witness to Roswell, Unmasking the 60-Year Cover-Up. So, Tom, based on all the interviews that you have done of folks who say that they were there and this is what they saw, what do you think happened?
Well, of course, we follow the evidence trail wherever it leads, and I can tell you and your listeners that we have found no one, no one who is detailed for us anything having to do with a balloon or a radar target, which is what the Air Force says it was. So, we're talking about 600 or so witnesses to an extraterrestrial event. We don't like the term, you're a believer. That's a pejorative. We just follow the evidence trail. Like our introduction says, like Joe Friday used to say on Dragnet, just the facts, man. That's all we want, just the facts. So the evidence suggests, is what I like to say, that a UFO, in fact, crashed, at least one in 1947, crashed near Roswell. There were approximately 7 occupants, 6 dead and 1 still living, that were recovered to the base of the Roswell Army Airfield, located just south of Roswell, and then transported out. They ultimately wound up in Wright-Patterson Air Force Base,
Ohio,
Dayton,
right?
Ohio.
Yeah. And then what happened?
I might point out the 509th Bomb Group, which is military unit stationed at Roswell, was our elite unit back in 1947 in all of the military. It's the unit that dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki to end World War II. After the war, they relocated to Roswell. They were all hand-picked members of this first SAC base. And to suggest that they could not recognize a rubber weather balloon and a tinfoil radar target is strains credulity.
Thomas Carey, the co-author of a new book, Witness to Roswell, 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident coming up next month. Tom, let me ask you about Project Mogul, because over 10 years ago, the Air Force came forward and said, we can explain Roswell. It was a secret project, a government project called Project Mogul. Very top secret. It involved high altitude air balloons, basically going up high altitude, listening for turbulence in the air regarding Soviet atomic bomb tests. And so that's why they were so eager to cover it up, because it was a very top secret program that they said that all this stuff that they found looks exactly like the things that were used in this Project Mogul.
That's the current Air Force position, and it's interesting that the Project Mogul information itself was gathered by UFO investigators back in the early 90s. The Project Mogul, you're right, was a top secret project designed. It was led by a group of physicists, engineers out of New York University. It was called the Constant Level High-Level Balloon Project out of NYU. And what it was designed to do was to listen in up in the stratosphere. There's a layer of air that conducts sound waves especially well. So the idea was to get the balloons up into that stratosphere, keep them there, and when the Soviets detonated their expected first atomic device, the acoustic sensors on the balloon array would pick up the sound waves, and that was the idea behind it. The problem with the explanation is that the balloons and the radar targets and everything associated with this baling twine were off-the-shelf, prosaic materials that any six-year-old would recognize. Rubber balloons. The tinfoil was like the tinfoil used in packs of cigarettes. And so there was nothing exotic at all about the array itself. And anyone finding one, which many people did, they didn't even return them, would immediately know that what they were dealing with. Now, the 509th bomb group, being the elite unit it was, you have to accept that they were dopes, not to be able to recognize rubber balloons and tinfoil radar targets. The only connection that the Air Force can make to the between Project Mogul and the Roswell incident is the reed-thin memory of Charles Moore, who was the lead engineer on this project. He was a civilian who in the 1990s said, we launched a balloon on June 4th, and I think it was heading towards Arabella, which is a town near where the ranch was, where this, where the real Roswell event occurred, where the real crash occurred. He thinks he saw it heading in that direction, but he wasn't. He never did follow it all the way. So that's the connection they're talking about. To believe Charles Moore in the Air Force, you have to throw out 600 witnesses to something else.
Hey, Tom, who is the most convincing witness that you have personally met and talked to when it comes to the bodies?
Oh, geez, that's a hard one. There have been so many. I will tell you of a new one that's featured in the book that we bring forth for the first time. His name was, or he's still alive, his name is Eli Benjamin. He was a security guard at the base in 1947, and he accompanied, in fact, he was in charge of the detail that removed the bodies from the hangar, the base hangar, where they were first brought, and transported them over to the base hospital. He saw the, he didn't know what they were, but during the handing off of the gurneys from the hangar into the ambulance, covering of one of them fell away, and he got a good look at it. He saw that it was a small, he called it, his term for it was species. He said it was a species. He didn't use little green men or aliens or anything like that. He just, to him, he used the term species. And what struck him was the large head for its small stature, about 3.5 to 4 feet tall, hairless, but its head was like an inverted pear. Slanted eyes, no nose, just two holes in the front and two holes on the side for ears and a slit for a mouth. Now, he accompanied these to the base hospital where he stood guard until all of the gurneys were in, and then he was dismissed. And according to, and when he was telling my co-author and myself the story, I mean, he was crying. The man is like 80 years old, and he just broke down and started crying. It's been with him for all of these years. It still haunts him. His wife said for years he would, in the middle of the night, just, you know, sit up straight in bed for no reason at all, shaking. And his is just one story of many of the veterans from this unit that have kept the secret under threat, as it was explained to them, under threat of death.
Thomas Carey is the co-author of a new book, Witness to Roswell, Unmasking the 60-Year Cover-Up. Tom, you've also been involved for many years with MUFON. What do you think's going on? At the end of the day, you've talked to a lot of people. You've heard a lot of stories. I wouldn't be surprised if you've seen some things yourself. And anybody, of course, can look at video of perhaps the Phoenix Lights and some very recent events that have gone on just in this country. What do you think's going on?
Well, I know I can tell you what has gone on. My focus for the last 16 years, of course, has been Roswell. But after World War II, which ended with the atomic explosions, and this is speculation, you know, because we don't know for sure. But I can speculate that after World War II, the modern age of flying saucers, as it was first called, the modern age of UFOs, commenced in 1947. All of a sudden, people started seeing these things in the sky that were originally referred to as flying saucers. Now, the phenomenon has morphed into so many different directions, it's hard to say that any one thing is going on. I know there's a whole, you know, a whole industry about abductions. I don't claim to know anything about those, but people claim to have been abducted. And if you believe that a UFO crashed in 1947, as I do, then, you know, the possibility of an abduction is certainly within the realm, at least in my mind, of possibilities. That's not to say that every claim is correct, but it would appear that somewhere along the line, they just started arriving after World War II. Perhaps it was the flash of the A-bomb detonation. Who knows? We like to keep speculation to a minimum, my co-author and I. We like to deal with the facts, and I couldn't begin to tell you what is going on, because some of the things that are reported, some of the things that pass for photographs, they just don't look like anything, and you scratch your head and you say, geez, what is that? And I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Yeah, or then you have something like what occurred in Phoenix, what was it, in 91, I think, in March of 91, or
somewhere
thereabouts.
Somewhere around there, the Phoenix light.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the lights. Thousands of people, you know, news crews, TV news crews, witnessed unexplained huge aircraft flying over a bunch of parts
right.
of Arizona.
O'Hare Airport, not too long ago, there was a... I mean, this sighting was one of the best, where there was a disc-shaped craft. And normally I don't follow, you know, the current sightings because my research in Roswell is so occupies so much of my time. But the O'Hare incident of just a few months ago, where a disc was spotted over one of the terminals below the cloud cover, and then it shot up through the clouds and left a circular imprint in the clouds, viewed by many. And to me, that's a good sighting, is when you have multiple witnesses and a physical trace, such as you know, a cloud being deformed in the form of a circle. So, but this sort of testimony, lights in the sky, things, it's going to take more than that. It's going to take something dramatic to really to win the day. And we think Roswell is the best case of all time because it has everything. We believe there are bodies still in existence somewhere. They were originally taken to Wright-Patterson in Dayton, Ohio. We know they were loaned around to various facilities for observation and study. And we know that the wreckage itself was being studied at Wright-Patterson. It still may be. They still may not have figured it out. We just don't know.
Thomas Carey is the co-author of the new book, Witness to Roswell, Unmasking the 60-Year Cover-Up. Tom, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Coy.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.